This is Bell coming at you from behind the mic on Thirst World Problems, and I'm recording this a few days after the Kobe Bryant Memorial. Shortly after Kobe's passing, we put together an episode where we just recap some of our thoughts and our feelings about Kobe and everything that he's accomplished and how much of a touchstone he was for anyone that watched basketball or just enjoyed the game in general, whether you're a Kobe fan or a Laker fan or just someone who just watched the games for the love of the game. Now, we went back and forth, and we never ended up airing this episode, but after watching Memorial, we felt that we should at least let people know what we were thinking and what our thoughts were about Kobe. The episode starts off with a little bit of a somber note and respectful tone for the situation, and then kind of get into talking about the basketball sides of things and how that's affected us, and it loosens up a bit. Now, if you're at the point where you're ready to move on, or maybe you're still grieving the loss of Kobe, feel free to skip this episode. This is really a Kobe heavy episode. This is focused in on just some of the thoughts that were going through our minds at the time, some of the conversations that we had. So that's what this episode is going to capture. One thing that we didn't really address or get into at the time of this episode was Vanessa Bryant and the situation that she was in. And if you saw her speech in the memorial, you can understand and you can admire her for the strength that she had, not only to get on stage and to share everything that she shared and be so vulnerable in front of so many people, but the fact that what she's done for the families of the other people that were on the helicopter as well, affected by the crash itself. So for those of you that don't know, what she's done is she started a fund that's going to help support the survivors of those families. This is a move that can really be applauded and looked at as a heartwarming thing to do. When it comes to the core of the matter, people are still conscious of the fact that it goes beyond just Kobe. It goes just beyond Gianna, and it affected so many people. What's interesting, I know many people probably haven't done it. I only did it recently myself, but if you go and you read up on the stories of the other people that were on the helicopter alongside Kobe, you find out that their lives are rich and full and so intertwined just by, I don't want to say by chance, but haphazardly it happened where a budding friendship happened through just a game of basketball where two kids are playing, and it just so happens that their families happen to be from two different walks of life, and one of them's a professional athlete, the other is a successful coach. They become friends. Then their lives get intertwined even further, where one of the other ladies that was on the plane was a coach from Kobe's there, the La Mambas, but she only landed her role because, unknowns to her, Kobe, this professional athlete, was watching the way that she was coaching these young players. One of them happened to be his daughter, and he pursued her to come onto the team and help him coach this outside team. And finally, she said yes, and she came aboard. And from there, they had a close-knit family where Kobe was bringing them into his inner circle. And it all started out for the love of one silly game that we all play around the world. For me, I find that type of thing to be extremely interesting because you never know what kind of people or what situations will bring you in contact with different people through walks of life or the general bonds that you'll forge with people that you just happen to meet. So it's always interesting, from my perspective anyways, how quickly and how deeply people can connect when there's no pretense around a meeting, when it's natural and it's organic. Another big takeaway for me from the memorial was how deeply Jordan was affected. So you saw him, you heard him come up there, you heard him talk, you heard him say that he wasn't going to get emotional. And one thing that a lot of criticism that Jordan takes is that he's removed himself from that NBA circle. But one thing you can't deny is his passion for the game and for the people that he connects with. I mean, at one point, Jordan was referring to Kobe as his little brother. So it's always great to see that type of connection that people have with people who've passed away. But once again, it's always sad to think, and makes you think really, right? Makes you reevaluate things, how awesome it would be to share that same type of emotion and be that vulnerable and that honest about your feelings for other people that are around you at the time. Anyways, We do a little bit of a lead-in into this episode. Once again, this is bonus content. If it isn't your thing, feel free to skip this one. This is a, like I said, this one's about Kobe, and this is our conversations that we had that we figured that we really wanted to get out there. And we'd love to hear your thoughts, your opinions, different memories you may have, a different Kobe moment you may have that you want to share with us. That'd be great. It's always interesting to see and interact with people that have the same passions as you. So that'd be a great jumping off point. Anyways, enjoy the episode, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of season 3 of Thirst World Problems.
Welcome to the Thirst World Problems podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
This is Bell coming at you from behind the mic on Thirst World Problems. And today the tone of the show is going to be a little bit different. Today we're going to be talking about the tragedy surrounding Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, as well as the other people that were on the helicopter alongside him. By now, you've all heard from celebrities, sports broadcasters, as well as friends of Kobe's, sharing their opinions, thoughts, and stories of times that they spent with him. Now, none of us are NBA insiders. None of us knew Kobe personally. But what we are going to be doing is sharing with you the impact that Kobe has had from a regular fan, regular person's perspective. Hopefully, we're going to be able to celebrate Kobe a little bit and let you know where he stood as far as his impact on our lives. And I'm going to pass it over to my co-host, Nick Dugal.
So when this all happened, where were you guys when this whole incident happened?
Bell?
I'll give you... B called me... like 800 times, no joke.
What are you talking about, dude?
He literally called. Like I was at the Toronto airport, landed, and then I got a phone call from B, and I was like, "Okay, what's going on?" And so he's like, "You wouldn't believe." He's like, "You won't believe what's happening." I'm like, okay, and then he told me, and I was like, "No," and then I looked around, and I looked at the TVs or anything. There's nothing that was showing, and then I was one side looking at it, and then I turned around. All of a sudden, there's news all over the place. It just hit. You know what I mean? And you just couldn't believe it. The entire day, you were just like shook. I know this guy was shook hard, man. More than all of us, to be honest with you. But for me, don't get me wrong. Everyone knows I. Well, I'm not a hater, but I was always rooting against Kobe and LA, right? Because they were the team to beat, and you don't want to ever jump the bandwagon, right?
Well, they've been the team to beat since
for such a long time.
Basketball started
for such a long time, and so throughout those years, it was never I hated them. It was like you love to hate on the guy who's successful, right? You want to see somebody beat him. And when someone did beat him, that's the highest reward, right? And just by him going, it's a huge, huge blow to the basketball world. As you can see, it's not even just basketball. It's touching everyone's lives because everyone knows who he is and the whole situation. And it's literally changing so many people's perspectives on life and just... You know, a lot of people are looking at life's too short, you know, make sure, you know, you never know what it could be. Look at, for example, and this might not be a good example, but look at Carmelo. Carmelo hasn't played in like 4 games because he's so choked, right? Like it just touches everyone for someone like that. And from what I've seen is, I don't know about you, but if you guys, obviously you guys watch basketball games and you guys see Kobe, he's the last maybe 3 years, he's been super happy with his kids. He's always around his kids and just, you know, he's fulfilling happiness, right? That he's missed out throughout the years of playing basketball. And the crazy part about this before I jump to you here, Bell, is that helicopter is the same helicopter pilot that Kawhi Leonard uses. And because he uses a bunch of, he does it for athletes, right?
Yeah, Kobe's taking that same pilot in a helicopter for like 15 years.
Yeah, and you just never know, right? That's the crazy part. You just never know. It doesn't matter how many times you can inspect that helicopter, how many times, you know, you could practice being a pilot. You just, there's a certain situation. All it takes is one quick turn and that's it.
Did you hear about that clearance issue?
No, what happened? No.
So basically, like on that morning, it was very foggy in like the LA area, right? Like it's, I don't know how far it is, like 20 minutes from downtown where he, Calabasas is where he was. And the LAPD grounded their helicopters because they were saying there's too much fog. So no police department helicopters could fly. But since it's a private helicopter, there's a clearance you can get. Certain pilots can get a clearance. And the traffic controller gave them clearance to fly in that fog. But like the LAPD wouldn't let their helicopters go. So it was kind of a weird situation, right? But then obviously you mentioned that people start coming up with conspiracies and stuff like that.
Yeah. And like realistically, like a death from, that's nothing to do with your family. That's like outside and a person you've never met. Think about how many people are just very devastated by this.
Well, that's what, that's what makes it crazy when you're asking where were we when we heard the news. I was at a basketball game there, which none of you two were at, but I was at a basketball game, and right before halftime, I guess that's when the news started to come in. So no one has a device. It's just some guy on the bench, I guess, quickly checked his phone, and he literally yelled out in the middle of the game.
What?
And yeah, everyone looks at the bench and kind of like, okay, and he just yells out like, Kobe's gone, and we continue. I think there's a couple minutes left. Everyone, like guys on the court, are finished playing, like, you know, just not taking him seriously, not understanding. And then afterwards, it was actually one of the ref goes up to him as soon as half was up and was like, well, what was that all about? And then everyone kind of crowded around this guy's phone. And yeah,
like both teams?
Yeah. As he's kind of scrolling through the news, and like the halftime buzzer goes, and they kept on going. It was like an extra minute of added halftime, which, you know, if they're playing rec sports, never happens, for everyone just to like process that and see the news and see what it was. And I mean, naturally, I'm just thinking, okay, fake news. I'm not going to be rushing over there to be part of that or whatever. And then sure enough, you check your own phone and there's messages and calls coming in. You're like, okay, well, what's this? This got to be it. And it's just one of those things that impact you. And you're like, the whole time it was just disbelief. And like you were saying, throughout that day, it's just disbelief. Like this is not a thing that happens to these types of superstars, especially that young. Like he was only what, 43?
41.
Like that, it's nothing that happens that young. He wasn't that far removed from the game itself, right? You're not thinking that a guy that young is going to pass. So it was one of those things where the day is just, the rest of it is just disbelief. But everyone at basketball and on the other courts, you could just kind of see there was like a lull for a short period of before the games got started again. And this is Winnipeg out in Canada, out in the prairies, removed from, you know, the hustle and bustle of LA, and we don't even have an NBA team, and just shows you that impact that goes through a basketball. Now, B was probably the first to the news. So where were you when you heard all the news there, B?
Nothing. I was just at work and I got a message in one of our group chats or whatever. And it was just the worst like clipping ever. It was like, it didn't say who it was from or anything. It was just like a black wallpaper. And it was just like, Kobe Bryant has passed away or something. I looked at it, it looked so fake. Then I show one of my coworkers and they're just like, they just start laughing. And then I keep looking it up. I'm like, and then I just forget about it for like a couple minutes. And then I look it up again. And then other sites are breaking it. But we thought, like, because TMZ was the first one. And yeah, we thought like one of my coworkers was like, TMZ got hacked. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I was like, yeah, that's obviously, you know, whatever. And then, yeah, it starts coming across everywhere else. And like people were just phoning people. It was weird, man. Like,
well, that's it.
Yeah. So yeah, I came across, and I was just the whole day, even the past, like, honestly, like the past whole week, right? You just think about it, but it's tough because this obviously happens to Kobe, right? It's just like, this happens daily to, you know, hundreds, thousands of families, right? Like even worse tragedies, right? Mm-hmm. Someone might come into your house and just, you know what I mean? Just end your whole family. Like it's just stuff happens. It's just the icon of where he was. It was beyond. It's beyond sports, right? It's guy like that's supposed to live forever, right?
Well, like so. he's the guy that all these basketball players are getting drafted, and he's the guy, right? Like he's
the guy they look up
to. He's like Bell. He's their Jordan.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like that's the best way I could say it, because we grew up in the Jordan era, right? These guys grew up in the Kobe era, right? Now these guys that are growing up, there's the LeBron era, right? That they grew up in, and the next person, whoever the next person's going to be, right?
But so many of the young players, like you're saying, emulate Kobe. They had conversations with Kobe. I think that was the most impressive thing coming out of this whole thing is, because like you say, there's stuff that happens behind the scenes, there's stuff that happens in front of the cameras, but this was one of the things that all the stories that kept coming out were players, some big name players, but there was a lot of smaller players being like, Kobe gave me so much advice on this thing. Kobe gave me so much advice like on how to develop my businesses outside of basketball, on the kind of training I should be doing, where I should live, like just small, weird stories from guys that weren't like, I guess, household names kind of thing, like kids that are coming up and you're like, Kobe spent time talking to this guy and like start talking to this guy, yeah. Like, and working, like, when did he find time to do that? And it's a very different Kobe from what you saw, especially, I guess that's one of the biggest reasons I kind of like disliked him as a player early on is, it's very different Kobe you saw in the latter years than early on in his career, right?
See, I'm gonna cut you off on that part. See, I think that's the thing that people think that what Kobe is. People think Kobe's this hard-headed guy, but realistically, from what I've seen and all the interviews that people have said, they say Kobe was one of the nicest guys in the NBA. And on camera, it's a totally different attitude, right? Which makes sense. Like if you're playing a game, you're like in that old school era, like who would have thought Jordan, Ewing, Barkley, all these guys, Drexler, that these guys are all buddies, but in the end, they hated each other on the court. You know what I mean? Like then that's, and that Kobe had that old school mentality of, I don't like you on the court. You're not my buddy. You're not my friend. But end of the game, cool, we're gonna text each other. Like this era, these guys are going to be like, cool, hey, like we're boys, right? Mm-hmm. But they'll play, they won't play. Like I don't see it where they play and they separate the two. I think they just keep it all together. Oh, he's my guy, so it's all good, right? You know what I mean? But Kobe had that different demeanor and mentality, and that's what made him so different was he didn't care who you are. He didn't care if you're a superstar. He wanted to beat you, man. He wanted to break you down. He wanted to just take you out, right? He wanted to show you that you're not the best. I'm still the best.
And that's the crazy thing. Even when he got drafted, like even his agent, he told him, he was like, I'm going to be better. Like he said it verbally that he would be better than Michael Jordan. And that's who he's chasing and all this, right? And like there's an interview with him where he's annoyed that he didn't get that last, the matching one. Right, because from wherever it started, whenever he started, he was trying to run down Mike. Like that was the main thing he was doing.
Yeah, that's what he was gunning for from the beginning.
So,
and that's what you need. You need to have a goal. Who are you going to beat? Who are you trying to beat? You know what I mean? Like, what's your goal? His goal was simple: get more rings than Jordan.
Yeah, because sometimes nowadays people will be like, "Oh, well, what do you want to do?" And then people will be like, "Oh, I'm just happy I'm here, man." Yeah. Which is great, all good. I'm sure you're happy. Like you're getting paid this much money to play sports, but at the same time, like, what are you? There's got to be a higher goal. Like,
there's got to be some.
You got to dream, or you got to be thinking of imagining something, right?
Correct, yeah. Well, that's what everyone says is the biggest difference between LeBron and Kobe, right? Is that Michael Jordan mentality, right, or the Mamba mentality, right? Like no, that desire to really be like a cutthroat athlete.
No,
I'm gonna
stop you right there. I think LeBron has that mentality. But the way he did things was different. For him, it was, I don't really care about playing on the same team forever.
He paved new things a little bit.
He changed a lot of things. He didn't really care. He's the one who started the 3-year contracts and started moving, right? Like, nowadays, no one, there's not really a consistency of a player playing for one team. And that's, and I think with Kobe, that kind of ended, actually, Dirk ended that. Dirk played for the same team, yeah. Right? But with LeBron, he still has that mentality of killing it, man. Man, I was just literally at the Celtics versus Lakers game, and this guy had like 3 points in the first quarter, and then he had another maybe five in the second, and then he ended up dropping like 35 to 37 points. It's like, he can turn it up. It's just, you just got to pick and choose, right? And I think with him, it doesn't matter what team he's on. It's still the same mentality. I think the difference is Kobe just stuck through with, hey, my team's bad. Cool. I'm not leaving just because my team's bad. Right.
Yeah. I think the thing where they vary though is Kobe's the kind of guy that's going to do it. And it's him. It's on his shoulders. He's going to do it. I don't need anybody else. Kind of like the same Michael Jordan mentality of, I'll go one against five because I'm that good. I know I can get it done. LeBron is competitive, but he's also like his ideal basketball situation is always making the best basketball play, not I can do the best basketball play isn't the ball in my hands at all the times, right? Not that I can make the best play all the time. It's I can facilitate or I can find what the best play is on the court.
Which some people hate that and some people understand it.
Well, that's what he got, like, you know, like early in his career when the shots weren't falling for his teammates and stuff. That's where all the criticism came in, right?
The crazy thing is it was so bad for him at that time is because the other guy that was doing the complete opposite was Kobe in his prime.
That's it.
Right? So LeBron wasn't just doing it. It's that Kobe was doing it more than LeBron, right? So
what
I don't know, man.
Yeah, what I find interesting about, and we get back to when we say Jordan was our guy from that time, right? Jordan, right? Michael Jordan, right? But everyone knows him by his last name.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah. What makes Kobe, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, what makes Kobe different is Kobe's his first name. That's what everyone knows him by, right? Everyone knows him by Kobe. It's not Bryant. It's not Brady. It's not like, it's his first name that's a household name.
It's a unique name, right?
As well as the fact that you can go anywhere and same way that people recognize McDonald's or Jordan, Kobe is right in that conversation. How many times have you seen non-basketball players or like some people that don't follow the game that closely put up a shot or throw something around the hall and they say, Kobe, like yell that out as if they're emulating Kobe at that time.
Where do you think that originated?
I can't even tell you.
I feel like I made it up.
Chappelle Show.
I feel like I made that shit up.
Chappelle Show.
You think so?
Yep.
Dave Chappelle does it again. But that's just insane to me where it's like,
you didn't create that.
I did.
You weren't even born, man.
I created that shit.
Where there's people that don't know anything about basketball, but will yell that out and be brought into that conversation. Right?
Plus, the one thing that gets me is the Hall of Fame. Because it's so tough because he played those 20 years. He did so much through the trade talks, 81, you know, leading these teams with Shaq, without Shaq, you know, 20 years with one team, getting both numbers retired. He's fucking 2 months away from hearing his Hall of Fame speech, right? And I think it would have been a hilarious speech. I think it would have been like a longer one too, mentioning a lot of people. And you just don't get to see it now, man. Like, that's why it was actually annoying me a couple days ago at the Hall of Fame. They make these guys that are clear cut first ballot immediately wait, what, 3-4 years to get in? Like, they should be in the next year. Mm-hmm. Why do they have to wait?
It's part of the prestige, part of the allure of, you know, and they want him to be around and be ambassadors of the game and help promote this as they're waiting to get in, right?
The weird part about the Hall of Fame is there's some guys who, like, get in when they're, like, in their 80s and 90s. Like, why is it taking so long for him to get in there? Like,
because there's no one else at that time that's...
But it's weird, though, right? It's like, well, okay, this guy should be in it now. It's like, well...
I went to the Hall of Fame, actually. Yeah,
I don't even want to talk about it.
I went to the Hall of Fame, and I thought it was going to be a lot bigger than it was. It's nice, don't get me wrong, but it's nothing crazy.
Crazy. Yeah.
Well, it comes down to that whole thing, and what you're saying there is like letting him in so late. It comes down to, and as we see with Kobe and stuff now, right? It comes down to celebrating people when they're actually around and here to hear that kind of stuff, right? Able to enjoy it. Like, how cool would it be if you let in like some of the younger players, right, into the Hall of Fame, or where they're at an age where they can still move around and they're not crippled, and you had a Hall of Fame game where you could see some of these greats actually playing with each other?
Because that would have been
stuff,
a closing,
right?
Kind of thing. Like, if he would have been able to get that Hall of Fame speech out, that kind of puts the exclamation point on half of his life, basically.
Because I'm tired, right, of seeing Bill Walton talking every time at these Hall of Fames, man. Like, it's getting old, man.
Yeah, well, what do you mean Bill Walton?
With his false teeth, man.
Wow. That's actually, it's always like the same old, like,
same old thing.
You know, like Bill Russell. Okay, yeah. Cool, but there was no fucking three in the key. You know?
So now you guys don't want to have any respect for the legacy players of the game.
No, you definitely have to respect them because that's how it came to be. It's just,
you're yelling at the man for having three in the key.
But there's more.
But
than
should
five
you
Hall
should
fames,
you?
Man.
Yeah, well, like, you know, make it the fucking old motherfucker Hall of Fame. Do something
can
else.
Can I,
man,
add one more thing before we kind of close this?
Okay, let's try not to trash any of the greats.
No, it's just except for Bill Walton.
I'll do Bill Russell later.
How do you guys feel about arenas retiring Kobe's jersey? Do you think that's something that's necessary? Like if Jordan passed away, do you think his 23 should be retired? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think so. I think
do
it's,
you think Kobe's number should be retired? Like, I personally, I think that's a little too much.
I wouldn't say too much. I would
for,
just
for other arenas.
I wouldn't say it's too much.
I think it's too much for me.
I wouldn't say it's too much, but if someone wanted to do it, I would understand. But
100%.
Like, say, you know, say, I don't know, the Raptors did it. Well, that would be kind of stupid, right? Because like,
but there's
teams, not really a ties with
but there's
it
or, but there's teams like
the Mavs. Are you talking about?
Like, I think,
like, Cuban's come out and said that he's gonna
the Mavericks.
I think
that
the Heat have retired like 23 or something. Like at one point. And they retired, like Philly retired 24, and Embiid allowed, they allowed Embiid to wear it. Like, man, I think that's a little too much. Don't get me wrong. That number should be retired. Definitely in LA, those two numbers, right? And, but I think it's too much. Like Dallas, like why is Dallas doing that? Like,
I think it's. Like kind of what B said, depends on your relationship with him. I don't know the relationship that Cuban and Kobe had. So maybe Cuban's feeling like, you know what? I know this guy who is a friend. Or I respect him that way.
But I think a lot of people are going through emotion right now and they're just doing whatever it takes to show respect for him. Right.
For sure.
But there's
yeah.
so many other ways to do it. Like, I don't think retiring that number for a team that he's never played for. Like, you think the Sacramento Kings should retire it, even though, you know what I mean? Like, that's one of the huge.
Well, that's kind of the beauty of it too, is these organizations really do act as their own sometimes, right? As much mm-hmm. as we think, well, the NBA is telling these teams what to do, they're really not. Like, they can up and move whenever they want to any city, you know, if they think it's viable and make their own decisions. So it's, I know what you mean though. Like, if it's like the Mavericks, cool. Maybe the Lakers and Mavs have played a couple close series or something,
right?
Yeah,
they played some really good, but they had a rivalry.
But was Mark Cuban, you know, did he used to own the Lakers and draft Kobe and now he's in Dallas, so that's why he wants to retire? You're mm-hmm. saying there's no physical, easily seen link that you're like, oh, XYZ, this is why. You're kind of thrown off by why are they doing it?
It's his team. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, if he wants to do that, I've got no problem with it. What bugs me more is
think about it for the years ahead when, you know, there's, let's say you're 60 years down the road and you see that banner and a kid's like, well, why is there Kobe Bryant banners all over?
At the same time, he meant so much to the game. You know what I mean? Like,
I know, but what I'm getting at is what if a guy like Shaq, I hope nothing ever happens to him, but like, what if a guy like Shaq passes away? Are they going to do the same thing for him too? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
because
if someone like him goes, I think he was larger than life. He's the one who made the NBA this like all about personality, right?
Oh yeah.
Like, you don't see that. Except for the NFL, you do see that, but like, you don't see that in the NHL. You don't see that. And other major sports, like a guy like Shaq, everyone knows who he is. A lot of people who watch sports know a lot of these athletes, even though they may not watch basketball because they have larger than life personas, right? Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, you name it, right?
So if the team did want to do that based on if Jordan passed or if Shaq passed, what would you feel the same way?
Yeah, like I feel like don't get me wrong, Shaq's played on like 300 teams. But I mean like
Boston retires as Shaq's 32.
Yeah, but I mean like Orlando and I feel like LA should be the two and Miami, those three should be the main teams that should have some sort of impact on it, right? It shouldn't be Cleveland and Phoenix and Boston. Like,
so then that being said, what do you feel about the whole petition to change the logo to Kobe's image?
No, I don't think so. You got to keep that logo the way it is, man.
Yeah, for me on that, it's a little bit tough because sure, that's the logo, but at the same time, it's very well known that it's a certain player, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, when does it happen that, just like the point Nick just made, when does it happen that this one kid is looking at the logo and they're like, hey, this guy played in the 60s. He doesn't mean anything to me. Why is this still the logo? So you could make the argument that as time goes on, as these very important players, something does happen or someone does contribute something to the game, that you can do that. Like, for example, some of these trophies, like the MVP trophy or the championship trophy, whatever, they're named after certain guys for certain accomplishments. So what if another guy goes over that accomplishment? Is the new accomplishment not as good because the old accomplishment was the first accomplishment? Well, I don't think so. So I think in the future, like if you just dead it right away that, hey, you can't change the logo. Well, that doesn't really make much sense because if the game is changing so much, like Jerry West probably would look and he probably wouldn't recognize the game as amazing as he is, right? Obviously, he's alive today and I saw an interview with him a couple days ago. But the game has changed so much that don't you kind of have to look at that a little bit?
But as a business standpoint, history for something like that's a symbolic thing. Like imagine if Nike changed their logo to something, nothing to do with the swoosh, because they want to update with what's going on. People would be like, well, that's so different. You know what I mean? Like,
but do you think Nike can be different? Cause Nike's able to have many logos. Like obviously the trademark's the check, but you'll see the check with Nike behind, or
Nike's always had their certain things. So it's either the name swoosh, right? One of the two. You're going to have one of the two in it, no matter what.
Yeah, but then at the same time, Nike does appeal to many things though, right? Sports, leisure,
right. But athletic wear. What I'm saying is, what if they just rebranded to something else, to something that's different? Nothing out of their element. What I'm saying is, as a business standpoint, a logo like that, like what if McDonald changes completely the arch? They went to something else.
Yeah,
they have such a prestige symbol that you change something like that, you lose that prestige.
I understand,
and I feel like that's with the NBA. You lose that current logo, you lose that prestige because you got to remember Jerry West is the guy who literally put realistically the NBA on the map. He was the go-to guy, and that's why they put the logo on him. And Dr. J as well. But Dr. J was an ABA player, or else the logo would have been about Dr. J.
Well, you see, that's it, though. We're saying put him on the map, and you got to remember. And as older guys, that's like what we're saying, right?
It's like checkpoints, you know what
but
I mean?
But for a guy like B and some of these younger kids, Kobe embodies, right?
I get what you mean, but what I'm saying is, what if they started changing other things? You lose that prestige.
100%. But I think these sports leagues, there's only four major, right? MLB, NHL, NBA, NFL, right? So if you look at, say, like the fast food example you had, there's so many,
right?
Obviously hundreds of thousands of millions, right? Like fast food, for example, McDonald's changes its logo or whatever. There's not really anything they can change it to fit the times. Do you know what I mean? Like their thing is their thing. Like food is whatever they're putting out. It's going to be burgers and fries from here on to fucking whatever year. Right. But with the NBA, basketball is basketball, but we can all sit here and admit how much it's changed. Saw, you know, hardcore to hand checking to easier to shooting to like that actually evolves. So I think you can do that, or you can make a case for it, because some of the examples you said, I understand what you're saying, but there's a certain bread and butter in those businesses and they could change it, but that's kind of it's not really any change that has any backing unless they went through like a scandal and you'd have to change. Yeah, this or like, blah, blah, change blah,
that.
Right?
But like, look at the margin that they would have to do to change everything everywhere, that logo.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I'm not advocating that right. This 100%. No, no, I'm just saying, it should be a case.
Right. No, I'm totally with you on that. But what I'm saying is I think there's two things that factor: the prestige of that logo and as well as the cost of changing that logo. I think it's gone to a point where it's going to cost them so much money, because you got to realize NBA logos everywhere. You go to China, you go to Japan, you go to England, you go to India, you go wherever, man, that logo's everywhere. So you have to change all the apparel, because every apparel that is associated with the NBA has the logo, right? So you got to change shoes, socks, sweatshirts, hats, you name it. All that's got to change, and you throw everything out.
And right? when you probably lose
that profit because of a logo, right? So,
well, and on top of losing the profit, though, you also lose a bit of the history of the league and a bit of the traditions that are establishing what the league is, right? And I think that's something that you can't forget or throw out. And especially as a historian of the game, a guy like Kobe, I don't even think would advocate for changing the logo. Yes, something super tragic happened, mm-hmm. and we understand that, but you can't get rid of part of basketball history
right.
from that. Kids should learn who that logo represents and why he represents that, or how basketball, so, like you said, got put on the map.
So B, you really think that, like a yes or no, you really think that Kobe should be on that logo over Jordan?
No.
Oh, okay. I was just curious.
No, I don't think that. I just think if you look at it, the league's broken into, you know, segments, maybe 10-year segments, maybe 20-year segments. There's certain people that have done that. Like, you know, like if, say, LeBron wins 3 more championships and his legacy is probably the best ever then, right? So can you ever talk about ever changing that, or is that just, you know what I mean? And again, that doesn't have to be it. There's other ways of honoring Kobe, right, which all these teams are doing. So you don't have to go to the extreme.
Yeah.
But if someone brings that up, I think for sure you could be like, oh, well, you know, that does make sense. This has been changing a lot. Maybe we could. It's just, it's one of those decisions that if you do it, you change so much. You change so much history. It's like adding a 3-point line, right?
Yep.
If you add a 3, like this could have been the argument back in the day that, hey, if we add this 3-point line, all the other people that have scored all the way in the past, this is going to get skewed now now I don't have the chance to shoot this many threes, correct. But they did that.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. So
the NBA, I think what the NBA does so well is with history, they balance it so well together when it comes to like All-Star games and Hall of Fames. They put everything so well together and they don't kind of cram the history in your face. They throw it there. But I think what they're going to do is something better than just the logo. I feel like they're going to change the NBA championship name.
See, but that's so tough, man, because the way I think about it kind of is like, and this is kind of to your point of view, you were saying is if you change something, you're effectively saying that the first person kind of doesn't matter anymore. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like if you change the Lambo or the Lombardi trophy? Well, then you're saying Vince Lombardi didn't do what he did, basically. You know what I mean?
But with the NBA, I think the title is the guy who just created the title. I don't think it has anything to do with a player. That's what I'm getting at. So I think it's kind of like a blank.
Oh, okay.
They just filled it in for a name because they need to call it something. And I think that blank, like they never called the MVP anything except for the MVP. Then they named it Bill Russell after the Bill Russell, right? So. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that's acceptable, but yeah, we'll see what happens, right?
So just to honor Kobe, we're going to talk about some of his most famous moments. We're going to do 1 to 5. So for me to start, number 5, I'm going to put his 7 straight games, 45 points. that number might be a little skewed. It might have been 7 or 8, but I remember watching that and it was just so ridiculous because it was like, and it was a road trip too. A lot of them were in visiting cities. So that was the big thing about him just going off, and he was just willing the Lakers to win. So that's number 5.
Number 4 is, this one's probably one of my favorite games of all time. Actually, one of my favorite series. It was back in the early 2000s. It was the Blazers versus the Lakers. While the Blazers basically had one game left, and they were up by, I think it was around, 15?
That was the playoffs?
Yeah, Western Conference Finals. They're up by 15 to 20 points. It looked like it was going to be a blowout. I think this was the end of the whole Kobe and Shaq, and out of nowhere, they just came back, won that game, and ended up winning the series as well as the championship. And yeah, that's number 4. What's number 3?
So for number 3, we're going to go, a lot of people would probably put this a little bit higher. We had 60 in his final game, number 3. And I just remember, I had like a basketball game and I came home and I knew that it was his last game, but he only had like 21 or 22 in the first half. So it was like, and he was shooting them up. He put up like 50 shots that game. So it wasn't that impressive, but when he started getting going in the fourth, it was like, he can still do it. But then it was like, okay, he's retiring. But yeah, 60 was probably number 3.
Part of that story was before the game, Shaq had told him to go out and score like 40 or something like that. And then Kobe was like, oh, I'll do better than that. And then that's why when he scored 60 at the end there, it's just crazy impressive that, especially the way he's been playing the last few games. And then he comes out.
Oh, he was horrible.
Right? And then to go out on that way, like that's how Kobe has to go out, right? So just classic Kobe there. Nick, what did you have in number 2?
Number 2, we had the playoff jumper against the Suns. So that was always big because you remember the Steve Nash Suns. They were always right on the brink, but Kobe's Lakers or Tim Duncan's Spurs always had the last laugh. But I don't even think the Lakers won that series, did they?
Yes.
They did win that series?
Yes.
But yeah, I just remember watching. I remember
that was when he got pushed, right? Is that when Steve Nash got pushed?
Oh, with the... Wasn't... Yeah.
Oh, might have been Spurs.
That was against...
Robert Horry pushed him or something, didn't he?
That might have been the Spurs series, though.
Oh, he was a Spur?
Yeah. Yeah, with a bench clear. Yeah.
No. That was the Lakers, man.
It was against the Lakers?
I could be wrong.
But anyway, when he comes down and hits that elbow jumper for the win, and then he, you know, that famous when he pulls a jersey aside or whatever. So I thought that was number 2, probably. Number 1.
Greatest moment of all time. Greatest scoring performance in the modern era.
Wait, what were you going to say?
In the modern era?
Were you going to say of all time or no?
No, that's why I said of the modern era.
But I thought...
You should pay attention to the show and you'll hear what I'm
going to
say.
It sounded like you were about to stutter and then you were like, oh, I'm not... Kobe wasn't my, you know, my player to watch, so I'm not going to say number 1. Was that... Did I hear that in your voice or no?
You did not. Okay. You did not.
Could you make a case for that though or no? That is... The 81 is a better than Wilt's 100? Because Wilt could just sit in the middle and just... But honestly,
there's no 3-pointers there. You can get to 81 quicker with 3-pointers than you can to 100 with 2-pointers.
Yeah, but when you're
that's
just
50 baskets, we'll have.
Yeah,
to
but excuse
right?
my language. Like when it's a 7-foot, you know, biggest guy against the smallest, like, you know, 6-foot white guys behind him, and there's no 3 in the key, and you can just sit in the middle all day, and you just turn and dunk, turn and you know what I mean.
Like, so should we discount any baskets that Kobe scored on smaller players?
Maybe. I'm just saying it's. It's debatable, right? So
you might have only had like 30 that game then.
Okay.
What makes this moment so memorable is that he beat the Toronto Raptors and made them look like an embarrassing franchise until he won that championship. Because 81 points, Kobe was a scorer. He was deadly. Awesome to watch. But all throughout that game, I'm just screaming, play some defense, double team this guy. Like, what would they do to Harden and stuff now? How are you not running 2 or 3 guys on there and let's see if anyone else can score? But still, Kobe put in 81. I remember getting the call about that and just not, same thing, being in disbelief that this guy put up 81 in a regular season game. Like, there's just no way that can happen at a professional basketball level. But then you watch the highlights and, hey, you're still watching him to this day. Kobe Bryant, five great moments. That's a tribute. That's what we did here on Thirst World Problems. Anything else to say, boys, about Kobe here?
Long live the Mamba.
Yeah, man. It's I think the crazy part is that his daughter was supposed to be the next Mamba, right? And fortunately, you won't see that. Like,
it was cool how he embraced that too. Like, he was basically just embracing WNBA like hard.
Yeah.
Right.
So. You know, it's tough, man. Like, he was a good ambassador for the league, and he's one of those rare guys that you can't match. You really can't match. I don't want to keep on talking about guys now in the league. I feel like Kobe was the last guy with the demeanor and the attitude of doing whatever it takes to win, right? And the drive. I feel like a lot of these guys now, it's more of just, cool, I'm here. Just like what you said, B, I'm happy to be here, and that's it, you know? And no rivalry. There's no rivalries, and I feel like Kobe was the last guy to get that rivalry, because in the end, it was Kobe LeBron, right? That was the big rivalry everyone always talked about. But I feel like now there's not even nothing. There's no LeBron or KD. There's none of that, or Steph. There's none of that, man, and it's kind of sad. Like, that's the whole point of sports. You need rivalries, right? And yeah,
we'll be missed. Let's have a drink and close it out, Kobe.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.